Welcome. My name is Ryan Sokolowski, and I'm a senior program manager on the Microsoft Enterprise Cloud Group's CAT team. And today, we're going to kick off the first part of a two-part series focusing on storage QoS policies. This first segment will focus on what we refer to as multi-instance policies. And there's two different types, multi-instance and single-instance policies. And let's start with a quick definition on those. Multi-instance policies that we're going to look at in a moment apply a minimum and maximum value for each virtual machine separately. And this makes it easy to create a single policy that applies similar limits to multiple virtual machines. Now, the second type is a single instance policy, and a single instance policy applies the same minimum and maximum numbers or values, but for a combined set or pool of VHD or VHDX files. So those resources will share and consume a defined minimum and maximum IOPS value collectively. Now, storage QoS supports two different deployment scenarios, both of them being Hyper-V based. The first one is Hyper-V using a scale-out file server implementation, and the second, Hyper-V using cluster shared volumes or CSVs. So let's jump in and take a look at the environment that we have available here. The first thing I want to show you is we'll start on our scale-out our scale-out file server implementation, which is located on top of a Storage Spaces Direct cluster. So we have our share for our virtual machines, and we have our virtual disk and our pool spread across multiple disks across the four different nodes. And the enclosures view shows all four servers contributing their storage to the Spaces Direct implementation. There's also a distinction that I want to call out that as we go through, most of the commands that we'll be issuing will be issuing against the Storage Spaces Direct cluster. And there are one or two commands that we will issue against a separate compute cluster. The implementation that we're looking at here is a disaggregated model as opposed to a hyper-converged scenario. And the approach, the commands are the same. The approach is somewhat simplified in a hyper-converged implementation, obviously. So we're going to quickly connect over to a virtual machine. This is a 2012 R2 system 001. And I just have kind of a simple performance monitor screen set up looking at some IOPS related numbers. And you can see kind of a quick baseline here. Not much going on. There's little to nothing running in this virtual machine. Now, what we'll do, I'll show you the compute cluster. So this is a four-node cluster that's running a number of virtual machines. And the ones that we're really going to be working with and targeting are these Server 2012 R2 systems. So what we're going to do first is we're going to kick off a workload in some of those virtual machines so that we have some IOPS being generated with which we can then see the effect of the storage QoS policy applying. So my first command, I copied too much. And it's still copying too much. Let's try that one more time. There we go. So we're defining our servers variable, and then we will run the disk speed command against that. Now, if we flip back to our virtual machine that is right here, we'll go directly to the console on that system, and we'll see the IOPS have definitely spiked, and our the disk speed tool is generating some good IOPS traffic on this system. So that's as expected. That's what we want to see. So now we're going to jump into the storage QoS commands. And for that, we're going to return here to our Storage Spaces Direct cluster. And we'll just pick node 1 for convenience. And we will run our first command, which is get cluster resource. And we're going to see the storage QoS resource. Now you can see in this command that the state of that resource is online. It's in the cluster group. And this is essentially just a PowerShell approach to viewing this same capability right here. So the storage QoS resource is automatically created when you build a Storage Spaces Direct cluster on Windows Server 2016. So again, this resource that shows here as part of cluster infrastructure is also surfaced through PowerShell. So we're now going to look at all the files that are open by Hyper-V on the Storage Spaces Direct cluster. And we're going to use get storage QoS flow or QoS flow. And you can see we get a lot returned here. There's a number of different VMs and not a great deal of information here. You get the initiator name and the file path, but it's not really the best view. So fortunately, there's a better, much more complex PowerShell command that applies some additional formatting and different parameters. So if we run that command, and these commands are all documented in the storage QoS validation guide that's on TechNet, and that's directly where this command came from. You can see by running that command, we have our initiator name and the node name, as well as the storage node IOPS that are coming through. And you can see the numbers here illustrating the load that we've generated on those five VMs. So we're going to filter some flows, and this is a command that will show us based off of a particular initiator name. Conveniently, it's our first machine that we looked at in with Performance Monitor, and we'll get a different view of just that specific initiator's storage QoS flow. Now, the thing that I want to point out in this particular view is right in the center here, and that's the policy ID, which is currently set to all zeros, which maps to our default policy, which we'll see in two steps. There's always an existing default policy that maps to the all zero GUID. Now, our next step is we're going to take a look at the performance on our volumes. And we're going to, for that, use get storage QoS volume. And I will pull that over. And in this case, we have two volumes showing. And it's pretty clear in this view which one of those volumes is holding the VHDX files for our virtual machine workloads and where the disk speed workload is generating those IOPS as compared to our second volume. So that's a nice view. Again, gives you a volume level view of the performance on a given volume. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to take a look at the existing policies And for that, we're going to use get storage QoS policy. And there's the default policy that I referred to, always exists, is always defined as zero minimum and zero maximum. And again, as we move forward here, I want to touch on the distinction between multi-instance and single instance. What we're going to be working with today are multi-instance policies. And you'll see as we go through the multi-instance policy, we set a minimum and a maximum. And that policy is then applied and defined individually on each virtual machine. So to start, we will create a policy. And I'll bring this command over. And we're going to define a variable and issue new storage QoS policy, give it a name, and determine the policy type here, multi-instance. And it's pretty simple syntax. We're just saying minimum IOPS will be 100 and maximum will be 200. So we will hit enter on that, and we now have our first storage QoS policy defined. Now for our next steps, we're going to want the policy ID or the policy GUID for that policy. So we're going to pass in this command to return just the GUID of the policy. Then we're going to copy that, and we're going to define another variable that we will use here and on our compute cluster as well. So as a reminder, we're currently doing all of this on our Storage Spaces Direct cluster, which is where all the virtual machines VHDX files are located. So we will define our GUID variable. Now we're actually going to copy this and bring this over to our compute cluster as well, because our next commands, we're going to apply the policy onto the virtual machines. And that's going to be done from our compute cluster. So we'll open up a new PowerShell window. You can see the previous one is still running the disk speed command. So we're going to, again, just define our GUID variable on the compute cluster. Then we're going to actually do the application of the policy. Now, if we take a step back here and take a look at our 2012 machines, you can see that none of these virtual machines are running on node 1 or server 1. So if we were to issue this next command on the Hyper-V level, and this is what's currently documented, if we were to do this, we're essentially applying the QoS policy to those virtual machines, and we'll get a return back, but there won't actually be any application of policy because no virtual machines that match this criteria are currently running on this node. So a more elegant way, or a more realistic way of doing this in a real world environment, is to use a cluster level command to apply this across your cluster. So regardless of where the virtual machines are currently located, they will receive the QoS policy application. So we're basically saying get cluster group where the object has a name like 2012R2HA star, get the VM, get the VM hard disk drive, and then set the VM hard disk drive to the QoS policy ID that we've defined. So as soon as we do this, the policy application takes place. Now, our next piece is we're going to go back to our Spaces Direct cluster and verify that the policy has been applied. So we will do that here and say get storage QoS flow. And you can see in this middle column, the middle two columns, that we do have a successful application of this multi-instance policy where each one of these virtual machines has received the application of a minimum 100 and a maximum 200. And if we issue this one more time, noting the storage node IOPS numbers here, if we do it again, you can see they're already starting to come down. Now, what I just recently learned is that what this command is giving you is basically a 5-minute running average. So although it looks like those storage node IOPS are still quite high, if we go back to our server one, the virtual machine one, the application of that policy has taken effect. And what this number is reflecting is a 5-minute running average. So the policy is applied immediately. Also notable, I want to point out server 003 here. Some people may look at this and say, well, why didn't this receive a storage node policy application? And that's because that virtual machine was actually deployed using Virtual Machine Manager. And in Failover Cluster Manager, it actually has a different resource name. So in terms of the matching criteria, we were looking for a machine called 2012R2HA star. And this particular workload or virtual machine doesn't meet that criteria. So that's why you see in this view that there are zeros for the minimum and maximum numbers. So that's the real magic here. That's the application of the policy. Let's look at a few other variations on this. If you want to modify an existing storage policy, it's a very simple command. It's very similar to what we use to create it. And we're going to use get storage QoS policy. And I'll bring that over. And you, again, recall the name of the storage QoS policy. And you just define a new parameter for either minimum or maximum or both. So we're now going to change this to 300 for the maximum. And then if we up arrow twice and look at our storage QoS flow, you can see that that has taken effect. And the storage node IOPS on all of these have dropped below 300 as they were on their way towards 200 for that 5-minute running average. And if I do this command one more time, noting some of the numbers here, you'll see the numbers increasing again. So the disk speed tool within the virtual machine is ramping up to consume the available IOPS as allocated to it. Now, all of us are familiar with a situation where we work with other teammates or other members of the administrative staff. So we'll do a little role playing here and pretend that there's another administrator on your team named Bob or Jim or Susan who has gone in and for whatever reason deleted an existing storage QoS policy. The problem with that is that if a policy is deleted from the file server before it gets removed from a virtual machine, the virtual machine will continue to run as if there's no policy applied. So we're going to go through this process and see that in action, that we can see what would happen in the case of doing things out of order. So we're going to do the same get storage QoS policy and then issue remove storage QoS policy. Now you will receive a prompt here, a confirmation prompt. So we will say yes, because we, in this case, do intend to delete this policy. Now, if we up arrow a couple more times, you can now see what I was talking about, that these virtual machines are now running with an unknown policy ID status. And clearly the storage node IOPS have already started to climb above the previously defined maximum IOPS. We'll do it one more time and see those jumping up significantly. So the process here is we will recreate a new policy using the old policy ID. Now, conveniently, because we used a variable before, we already have the old policy ID stored in this GUID variable. Now, in a real-world situation, you wouldn't necessarily have that preloaded into a PowerShell window. So the command you would use for that is this one, get storage QoS flow with a status of unknown policy ID, and then passing in some other parameters, and it gives you the policy ID of all the virtual machines that are running with an unknown policy ID. And you have the GUID shown on the screen. And this is what we've already captured in this variable here. So we will recreate or create the old policy. And I'm going to do this in a couple of pieces. So I'll paste in this part. And for policy ID, we will pass the GUID again. And we're going to say this, the policy type again, multi-instance. And this time we're going to call it restored policy and give it the same numbers. And there we have our restored policy recreated using the same policy ID GUID. So if we run this other command, and I copied a little too much, we will now see that the policies are back in place using the restored policy, and the numbers in terms of minimum and maximum IOPS have been reactivated. And if we reissue the command, we will see the storage node IOPS numbers coming down. Now, the last piece of this that I would like to show is taking a look at how all of this is surfaced in Virtual Machine Manager. So the first thing is we can go in and look at the properties of an existing virtual machine. Let's stick with our number 001 virtual machine. And if you go into the hardware configuration and to the disk itself, under the advanced section, is where the storage QoS policy would typically be shown. And what we have here is a difference with the refresh of the storage provider. So I'm going to kick off a refresh of the storage provider and see if we can pull those in and be able to demonstrate to you what's applied to that virtual machine in VMM. There's two more pieces I want to show in Virtual Machine Manager, and that's when you're deploying a virtual machine from a template. So we'll go in and use this template and create another test VM and step through this quickly, and I'll show you where this is surfaced during the deployment of a virtual machine using Virtual Machine Manager. Now, if we choose to deploy to a private cloud, I'll show you this first. We say next, and the process runs. We'll choose our default server, and this is really our last screen. So you're not able to make this option selection when deploying to a private cloud. What you'd want to do is decide to place the virtual machine on a specific host. And again, we'll stick with our same server. We'll click through to the next screen. And right here under the virtual hard disk is where the storage QoS policy would be surfaced. That's where this should be realized, is here. So we'll cancel this. And the next piece I want to show you is creating and managing storage QoS policies directly within VMM. And if we go to our fabric area and go under storage, there's a QoS policies section here. And you can right click here and say create a new storage QoS policy, or you can do it up here as well. So we'll choose this option and we'll say multi one and next. And here the policy type is represented using some different terminology for single instance or multi-instance. So this first option, where all virtual disk instances share the resources, that's a single instance policy. And then resources allocated to each virtual disk instance represents the multi-instance policy that we're working with. So we'll again define the same numbers here and click through. And then here's where you can apply the scope of the managed file servers onto which to apply those policy settings. And in an environment where you may have multiple scale-out file servers or Hyper-V implementations with CSV, this is where you can create and define your policy one time. And as it's created, you will end up with the same GUID across multiple storage clusters, which obviously has benefits when you're doing cluster migrations from one cluster to another, or even doing a storage migration where the storage is moving. If the policy ID, the policy GUID is the same on both, then the policy will continue to remain in effect. So we'll go ahead and create this multi-instance policy. And we will start the process of creating another single instance policy. And this is where we have pooled resources. So just taking a swag, numbers like this may be more appropriate, again, depending on the size or the scope of what you're applying to. And we'll click through. And I think our QoS policy creation is being held up just a bit by the refresh of our storage provider. So this may not complete in a short period of time, but if we go back here, we'll take one more look at our virtual machine workloads, and we can see that those have come down again with that running average to represent basically meeting the maximum IOPS numbers. So thanks for joining me today. This was our first of two-part mini-series, if you will, on storage QoS policies. Please join me for the next session where we'll essentially repeat the same setup, and we'll take a look at how that works with single instance policies. Thanks so much.